Our text will be Ephesians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Let's read this together. Verse 8, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Our subject is abounding wisdom and prudence. Abounding wisdom and prudence. God's wisdom is his knowledge. It's infinite knowledge. Infinite knowledge. And God's prudence is his skillfulness in choosing how to carry out his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. He has both the wisdom and the prudence to carry out that which he purposed in himself. Our text says, God hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known the mystery of his will. Do you know the mystery? Do you know the mystery? The mystery of his will is hidden. It's hidden. In 1 Corinthians 2:7, Paul said, we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory. We've been looking here in Ephesians 1 at all these things that God did before the world was made. These are the things he ordained before the world. He blessed his people with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. He purposed how he would save his people. He determined everything before the foundation of the world. This is what he did before the world was made. But this wisdom, and that was all wisdom, but this wisdom that he ordained is the one in whom he ordained all those things. Christ our wisdom. Christ our wisdom. Scripture tells us he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. There's where he abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. He put it in Christ's hands. In Christ's hands. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Christ was. But manifest in these last times. He said, we speak the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Christ is that one who was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Unto them which are called, Christ is the power and the wisdom of God. He's that mystery. Christ is. Christ is the key to this whole book. You won't understand anything unless you see Christ. See Christ. Our text also says, God abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. His good pleasure. The substance in which he abounded toward us is wise and prudent, and then the way in which he abounded toward us and revealed it to us and brought it to us is wise and prudent. Everything about this salvation is wise and prudent, and it's all according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself. I want to show you 8 things revealed in the Scripture that are the good pleasure of God. 8 things. And this is how God abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This is the will of God, the mystery of the will of God. And this is the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. All these things I'm about to show you, this is how he abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. This is the mystery of his will that he's revealed to us. And this is the good pleasure which he purposed in himself before the foundation of the world. Now we're going to have to do some turning in some scriptures, but I want you to see these things. So let's turn quickly. Colossians 1. Colossians 1. First of all, God abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, because before the foundation of the world, it was the Father's will to give all preeminence to Christ his Son, because it pleased the Father that all fullness dwell in his Son. This was his good pleasure. Colossians 1:12. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Do you see how parallel this begins with that of Ephesians? This is a sister epistle to Ephesians. Colossians is. In Ephesians, he's speaking about the blessings as they relate to us. In Colossians, he's speaking about the blessings as they are in Christ. He's showing us how that more of Christ in Colossians. So he says, in him we have forgiveness. And he says, who's the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He says, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. Before the world began, he made all those. He made all those principalities and powers and dominions. Everything. He made it. Remember that now. He made all those. All things were created by him and for him. And he's before all things. And by him all things consist. These things he made, and they were made for him. For a purpose. To show his glory and his power. That's what they were made for. Now be careful. Be sure you hear that. And he's the head of the body, the church. This was all done before the world began. He's the beginning. This was God determined this before he ever made anything. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father. There's the word. Same word as we see in Ephesians 1:9. It pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What does that mean? It means the fullness of grace is in Christ Jesus. Before the world began, God blessed us with all spiritual blessings. But he didn't give them to us directly. He gave them to Christ. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings in Christ. He gave all spiritual blessing, all these abundant riches that he had, he gave them to his Son, for his Son to give them to us. He gave them to his Son. All his fullness Christ has, he received from the Father to give to us. We're talking about grace here. Grace here. Now, he's all fullness in God. He's God the Son. But we're talking about his mediator. We're talking about the fullness he received to give to us. He received it from the Father, and of his fullness the saints receive this abundance of grace according to the riches of his grace wherein he hath abounded toward us. Free justification. Free righteousness. Free pardon, free adoption, free sanctification, all the graces that are implanted in that new born again believer by the Holy Spirit of God when he enters in, all of those come from Christ, from God our Father. Christ prays the Father who sends the Spirit into our heart, and he implants all these graces into our heart through the Spirit, through Christ. They're all through Christ. All light, all life, all wisdom, all strength, all peace, all comfort is all from Christ. Every bit of it. All fullness is in him. All the promises of God are yes and amen in him. And we're safe and secure in him. For you're dead and your life is hid with God in Christ, with Christ in God. There he is. Before the foundation of the world, God abounded toward his people with all wisdom and all prudence by not leaving one thing in the hand of a sinner, but by giving it all into the hands of his Son to give to those he chose. You see, if you got a bunch of riches, you got a bunch of great riches, and you want to deliver them to somebody, you don't put them in the hand of a robber to take them to them. They'll never get there. You put them in the hand of one that's trustworthy. You put them in the hand of one that will not lie and will not fail. And that one's Christ. And before the foundation of the world, God put everything into his hands to give to his people. All right, let's look now at this second thing. 1 Samuel. Turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Verse 12. Chapter 12. 1 Samuel chapter 12. God abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, according to his good pleasure, to make you his people. God abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, according to His good pleasure to make you His people. I hope He reveals this mystery in your heart today. This is the mystery of His will. This is how He abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. This is the good pleasure which He purposed in Himself. Look at 1 Samuel 12:22. The Lord will not forsake His people for His great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you His people. It pleased the Lord to make you His people. Before the foundation of the world, our text tells us in Ephesians 1:3-4, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. It pleased Him to make you His people. Everybody? No, sir. Not everybody. But He chose some. He's not told us who He chose. And He's not going to tell us who He chose. He says, you just go forth and preach the word. My people will hear my voice. I'm going to see to it they hear my voice. And so we just preach the word. What a mystery of God's will. What a abounding wisdom and prudence. Before, Brother Scott, as yet He made you, before as yet He created this world, He chose you to spend eternity with Him. That's amazing. Before He hung the sun in the sky, He chose us in the Son of Righteousness. Before He set the planets on their path, He predestinated each one of His people unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, conformed to the image of His Son. That's a mystery. And abounding wisdom and prudence, because He chose us because He knew from the foundation of the world that when we fell into sin, into total depravity, we'd never choose Him. So He chose us before. He did it according to the good pleasure of His will, according to the riches of His grace, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. This is our God. And then thirdly, Isaiah 53. He pleased Him. He abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence, first of all, by making Christ have all. He gave Him everything. All fullness. He put it all into His hands. Because He desired for Him to have all preeminence. It pleased Him. It pleased Him to make you His people. He not only put all the riches that He would give us into Christ, He put us in Christ. And this is the third thing. He abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence because He was pleased to bruise His Son in place of His people. In place of His people. All that you and I contribute is sin. That's it. That's it. All we contribute is sin. We broke the law in Adam. And here's our story. Since then, here's our story. Every one of us. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born speaking lies. In our blindness, some of us called all our wickedness righteousnesses. We went around bragging about all we'd done for God. But in reality, He said, we're all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, menstrual cloths. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. But it pleased God. It pleased God to send forth His Son for His people. This is the mystery of His will. This is His good pleasure. This is what He purposed from the beginning. This is how He abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. He sent forth His Son who walked this earth spotless and perfect and harmless to fulfill everything for His Father, to fulfill all the law for His people. The Lord said, the Lord is well pleased for His righteousness' sake. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. So when our Lord Jesus had fulfilled everything, every earthly work the Father gave Him to do, then He went to the cross. Because now He has a work to do in taking all our sin upon Him and becoming guilty before our God in our room instead. And God is going to pour out upon Him the punishment that His people deserved. And verse 9 tells us He had done no violence, neither was any deceit in His mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He hath put Him to grief. Look back up at verse 5. He was wounded for our transgressions. Pay attention to this. This right here is the gospel. Pay attention now. He was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53:5. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes we are healed. That's for what the law couldn't do, and then it was weak through the flesh. Meaning we couldn't do anything. We couldn't keep the law. We couldn't obey the law. And we couldn't put away our sins in any way. What the law couldn't do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. He condemned the condemnation. He condemned the death. He condemned Satan. He condemned everything that condemned us by going to that cross and being Himself condemned in our room and our stead. That's what Christ did. There's where God bounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. It pleased the Father to bruise Him for His people, that the righteousness of God might be fulfilled in us, that we might be made perfectly righteous before God, that we might be made perfect to enter into God's presence. This is what pleased the Father. Oh, what abounding wisdom and prudence. Who could have ever come up with this, that to find this way to wherein He could be just and the justifier, to where He could make His mercy and His truth meet in perfect harmony, to where mercy's not lessened any, justice is not lessened any. Justice is carried out to the full degree, and mercy's carried out to the full degree, and both of them are done in perfect harmony with one another in Christ Jesus the Lord. Do you understand substitution? I keep trying to tell you substitution. You take a substitute teacher, for example. A substitute teacher is taking the place of another because the other is sick. Or something's got it, the other one to where they can't do the job. So this substitute teacher takes their place. When that substitute teacher comes to the school, they know whose place they're taking. They don't come to the school not knowing who they're going to substitute for. They know whose place they're taking. I was a substitute teacher once. I know. You got to know whose room to go to. And you go to their room and you substitute for them and you do the work for them. They don't do the work. They can't do the work for some reason. So you take their place and you do all the work for them. That's what Christ did. He came to this earth. He knew who He was going to be the substitute for. And God abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence by choosing His substitute and choosing those who He would substitute for. But here's the abounding wisdom of God and the mercy and grace of God is after He's done all the work. I was a substitute teacher. After I did all the work all day, I never took the money and went and divided it with the person that didn't work. I never did that. I kept it. I did the work. But the abounding grace and mercy of our God is He did all the work and then He divides the whole thing with us. He comes to us and gives us the inheritance of what He accomplished. That's the fourth thing. Stay there in Isaiah 53 a minute. God abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence because it pleased God to raise up Christ from the dead so He could finish accomplishing the Father's good pleasure of dividing the spoils with those He redeemed. You get that? He was doing His work before He went to the cross. The whole work was in His hand. He created everything and He was bringing everything to pass beforehand. But it was God's good pleasure that after He accomplished this cross work, that in the remainder of the dispensation of times, He's going to raise Christ up, and Christ is going to make the good pleasure of God now flourish in the earth, because now He's in His glory as the God-man. Before He was doing everything as God the Son, but now He's doing it as the God-man. Now listen to this. Isaiah 53:10. At the end there, it says, He shall prolong His days. Let me read the whole thing. When thou shalt make His soul an offering for sin, He shall see, this is coming after He's done this, He shall see His seed, He shall prolong His days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. That means when He's accomplished His work, God the Father promised He's going to raise Him from the dead. and give him everything, all power, as the man who is God, the God-man, so that in his hand the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper. It's going to flourish in his hand. Because here's why, look, because in verse 12, therefore I'll divide him a portion with the great. He said, I'm going to bring him here with me, the great one, so that my son can have a portion with me. And here's what he's going to do. He's going to divide the spoil with the strong, his people, those that he redeemed. He's going to divide it all with them. He's going to give them the inheritance that he earned, that he obtained for them. And he's going to do this because he said, I'm going to raise him because he's poured out his soul unto death. He's numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sin of many. He made intercession for the transgressors. And God said, and I'm pleased with him. And I'm giving him everything as the God-man. He's going to make my work flourish now. That's why the next verse, look at 54:1. It says, sing, O barren, thou that didn't break forth into singing, cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child, for more the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. He says, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch forth the curtains of their habitation. Spare not. Lengthen thy cords. Strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. Thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities be inhabited. Fear not. Thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be confounded. Thou shalt not be put to shame. Look down at verse 5. For thy maker is thine husband. The Lord of hosts is his name. Thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth shall he be called. Go back to Ephesians 1 now. You see that? We're talking about Christ. That's Christ. Now watch this. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Now you remember all those principalities and those powers and those dominions that he made? He said he made them for him, didn't he? Christ made them. Christ made them as God the Son. He created them. But now watch this. As the God-man, as that one who is God and man, and our very nature there, look what he is now. Look where he is now. Ephesians 1:21. He's far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named. Not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. For God's put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. In all his wisdom and prudence toward his church, God the Father raised Christ because he was so pleased with it. He was so satisfied with his son. And this was his covenant promise, because when he poured out his life unto death, he promised him this. This reward, this inheritance. And he raised him to it. And he gave him the stewardship. He gave him the dispensation. He gave them the government, the administration over all things through the church throughout this entire gospel age. That's what he gave him. So that Christ might fill all in all. So that he might make the pleasure of the Lord prosper in his hand. That's what he gave us to him for. Feel that he might feel all in all. He's going to feel all the good pleasure of God's will. He's filling all his pulpits with the pastors he sends after his own heart. He's filling all his pews with his people. He has no problem bringing his people to his church. No problem. Because he has the power over everything. He is providence. He is the power over providence. He fills all his elect with the Holy Spirit. He fills all his people to completion with his fills his body to completion with his people through the fullness of the stature of the body of Christ, and thus he fulfills the fullness of times. That's what he does. Brethren, you can rest assured, the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in Christ's hand, because the God of the whole earth is who he is. That's who he is. That's who our Savior is. That's why he will not fail in this work. Don't call my Savior a failure. Don't say he fails in doing that which pleased the Father. He don't fail in it. He don't fail in it. 1 Corinthians 1:1. 1 Corinthians 1:1. Here's the fifth thing. in the wisdom and prudence of God, bounding toward us in all wisdom and prudence, it pleased God that after He proved through all the Old Testament age that man can't even know Him by His own wisdom, it pleased Him to save through the preaching of the gospel, to reveal the mystery of His will in us through the preaching of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 1:21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, we're talking about Him abounding toward us in all wisdom and prudence. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. The world by its own wisdom, it didn't know God. After that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God. Same word. This is the good pleasure He purposed in Himself. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Well, why did that please Him? Two reasons. They're given right here in the text clearly. In that passage clearly. The first reason is, by this means, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's risen right now, who's doing this work, God our Savior, is bringing the wise and the prudent of this world to nothing. That's why He chose to do it. Look at verse 19. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. Now, it's written means it's part of prophecy. What did Christ come to do? I came to fulfill the law and the prophets. Christ has got to fulfill this. And He's fulfilling it from glory right now as the head over His church. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. You see, He's abounding toward us in wisdom and prudence, but He's not going to have any competition. So He's going to destroy the wisdom of the wise, and He's going to destroy the understanding of the prudent. Verse 25, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Verse 27, but He's chosen the foolish things of the world to, that means for this reason, to confound the wise. Look at the end of verse 27, to confound the things which are mighty. Look at the end of verse 28, to bring to nothing things that are. Look at verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. If John, he's got riches. He wants to take them to Carly. He wants to deliver them to Carly. And these are valuable riches. And things that the world would kill him and try to take these riches from him. And so the way that you take them over there to Carly without the world even paying them any attention whatsoever is you put them in an old plain brown paper bag that don't have any appeal to this world whatsoever. Don't look valuable to this world whatsoever. God, in His infinite wisdom, was pleased that after He raised Christ from the dead, that He would send forth old preachers that don't have any appeal to them, that has nothing in them whatsoever that would make men want to desire them. And yet He filled them with the treasure of these riches of His grace to go and preach to His people. And through that, Christ is going to deliver these riches to His people. And by doing that, this wise and prudent world, they don't even notice. It's just an old plain brown wrapper, and they leave the riches alone. It's hidden to them, and He makes it hidden to them. They don't even seek them. It's beyond them. It's foolishness to them. Well, here's the second reason He did it. By using the gospel to call His children, we give Christ all the glory. You see, I don't want to ever preach a doctrine simply to say, this is true, you need to believe it. Because if I persuade you to believe it, somebody else come along and persuade you not to believe it. I want you to be persuaded of it because you see, the reason it's being done is Christ is getting the glory in it. And Christ is getting the glory in this. This is what was the good pleasure of God's will. And it's flourishing in His hand. Because by using the gospel to call His children, Christ alone gets the glory. Look at verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. It's the power of God. When you've experienced it, you'll quit saying, that's foolishness. I don't have to be saved by the preaching of the gospel. When you've experienced it, you'll quit saying it. I've never met anybody that butted against this truth other than somebody that said they wasn't saved by the preaching of the gospel. Because when you've experienced it, you'll know this is the power of God. It's the power of God. And in verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You see, here's what we behold when He calls us by His gospel. We behold the reason He's using this foolish means is because Christ our head is King. And He has all power over providence to bring each one of His children, to the gospel. And men will be brought to the gospel, and they'll come in and they'll hear this truth and they'll leave the gospel because they say, "Oh, I believe I was saved without it." That's foolishness. If you've been saved by Him, you'll say, "Yes, Lord, I see Your providence. You brought me here to it. You brought me here to it by Your power, Christ's power I'm talking about." And Christ our head is the prophet with all wisdom to teach His gospel through His preachers as the gospel's going forth. He's going to teach all His children. They're all going to be taught of God. And He's the one that gets the glory for doing it because He's the prophet teaching them. And Christ our head is the high priest with all power to stand there between us and make intercession for us and pray the Father to send forth the Spirit, and the Spirit goes forth into the heart of His child as that gospel's being preached, and He regenerates us to life, and He begins to give us all these riches that He promised the Father He would give. Because He's the high priest, He's able to accomplish that. And Christ our head Himself is the essential Word, who is the life that enters into us and it gives us life and makes us cry out and say, "Abba, Father." Do you see what I'm saying? That's why I use this foolish thing of preaching the Word. And He does it. Look at verse 30. "Because of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord." Now that's the two reasons He does it. To make those who are too proud and say, "That's foolishness to me," to hide it from them. And to make those that He reveals it in to say, "Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord." You know, hearing is the only thing that involves no work. It's the only sense we have that involves no work. All other senses except hearing require doing. To see, you must look. To smell, you must breathe. To taste, you must open your mouth. To touch, you must reach forth. But to hear, you must do nothing. You just hear. That's why the wise and prudent of this world hate that they have to be saved through the preaching of the gospel. They want to say, "I did it. I did it." Ain't going to happen. God's going to get the glory. Christ is getting glory for this thing. That's why the means of preaching is foolishness to them. But that's why it's the wisdom of God to us. All right, sixthly, Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Matthew 11. Our God has abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. He really has. He's left nothing in our hands. This is the mystery of His will. This is a good pleasure. All right, look here. "God abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence because it pleased Him," "as this gospel's going forth, to hide this mystery from some and to reveal it in babes." Look at Matthew 11:25. "At that time, Jesus answered." He had been preaching and men were scoffing at Him. They were shaming His counsel. "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight." That's that last verse there, verse 26, it's literally translated, "Yes, Father, because so it was good pleasure before thee. It was good pleasure. This was his pleasure. Galatians 1:15, Apostle Paul said, when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. That's when I heard. That's when I knew. That's when I believed. When it pleased God to reveal him in me. This is his good pleasure. He has the wisdom and he has the prudence to work everything just right to where he brings his child. And he just works. He works just right. He works just right to make his child, to reveal himself in his child. He does it at the right time. He does it in the right way. He brings them in, he gathers them in, and they start hearing his word. And he roots them, he grounds them, and then it's like one day he makes them hear it. He makes them really hear it. And they try to run, and he has the wisdom and the prudence to keep them drawn back. I've heard so many sinners tell me this. They've said, I kept hearing the gospel, and I hated it. I hated it, and I wanted to leave. I didn't want to hear it anymore, but for some reason, I just kept coming back. I couldn't leave it. I just kept coming back. That's his wisdom and prudence working. And he's going to keep on. He's going to reveal himself in. He's going to keep on applying the pressure and applying the pressure and applying the pressure till finally he says to you, stop kicking against the pricks. Stop kicking against me. And finally, you just say, yes, Lord, you're right. You are my salvation. And you quit butting heads with him. And you surrender to him. Oh, he's got wisdom and prudence. Here's the seventh thing. Back to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. I told you now, I said, we're going to end up right where we began. We started in glory with Christ. You know where we're going to end up? In glory with Christ. You know why? Because God abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence. That's why. That's why. Because he put it all in Christ's hand and left nothing out of his hand. All right, here, look. He abounded toward us in wisdom and prudence because it pleased the Father to gather all together in Christ. Look, verse 8. Wherein he's abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, that word means stewardship, administration, that he gave to Christ. And when it's reached the fullness of times, he's going to gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. This was his good pleasure. This was his good pleasure. When Christ has at last filled all in all his elect, he's brought them all together, then shall God gather together all in him. It's like God the Father said, I'm going to scatter them to the four winds. Son, go forth and get them. And the Son goes forth through the gospel and he's ruling everything, all providence. And he's sending his preacher here and he's bringing his elect here and he's putting them together and he's revealing himself in them, giving them faith, giving them all these riches and these blessings. And he's gathering them all together. And when at last he's got them all gathered together in him, then God just goes to him and he gets them all because he's gathered them all up. You see? Man, the Father just looks to one. And the Son just reports to him. He says, now here they all are. I went and got them. Here they are. You see that? So you see, all of these things that it pleased God to do, the chief end is to give Christ Jesus all the preeminence. To put all fullness in him. So he's doing it all. This is how he abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. This is the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. And this is the mystery of his will that he makes known in our hearts. Christ has all preeminence. Even the mystery which has been hidden from ages, from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. You see? You see? Christ personally is the hope of glory for us because He's come and He's redeemed us from all iniquity. Christ is eternally the believer's hope of glory because He's come and He's redeemed us all. He's personally our hope because He's been formed in our hearts and we know Him personally. And collectively as a church, He's our hope of glory because He's in our midst as our head and shall gather all His people and protect us and bring us to Him. And here's the eighth thing. Without a doubt, we shall know fully the abounding wisdom and prudence of God toward us because our head said to us, just what you read, "Fear not, little flock, for it's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." And that's what He's going to do. He's going to give us the kingdom. And then we'll be right there where we were from the beginning, in Christ, in glory with Him. Do you see the abounding wisdom and prudence of God? He didn't leave anything in our hand. He put it all in His hand. And the pleasure of the Lord has, is, and shall prosper in Christ's hand till the fullness of times is complete. And He'll complete them by calling in His last elect. Amen.